Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning. It is good for us to be together as we continue our green and growing season after Pentecost, as we continue to celebrate all of God's goodness and the love of God in Jesus Christ that we receive. I'm glad that you're all with us if you are here watching on the live stream. I'm glad that you're sitting here with us here in church. It is good to be together. We have Sunday school bags on the back pew, so if there are children here, if you have children visiting, remember that you can take a Sunday school bag to them so that they can read the story, or you can read the story to them. There's a craft that they can do, and there are all sorts of ways for them to discover how much it is that God loves them. A reminder that this Thursday we will continue our Bible study on the book of Acts. If you are interested, please join us in the parlor at 7 o'clock on Thursday evening. And then I received a note this morning that Mary Cook's mother passed away. And so I ask that you would please keep the family of Mary Warsham in your prayers this week. We've gathered this morning to be in worship. We've gathered to add our voices to those across time and space, giving thanks and praise to God. So let us continue by beginning our worship. So please stand. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
We continue by singing together our song, Famous One.
You are beautiful. You are beautiful. You are
Let us pray. O God, from you come all holy desires, all good counsels, and all just work. Give to us, your servants, that peace which the world cannot give, that our hearts may be set to obey your commandments, and also that we, being defended from the fear of our enemies, may live in peace and quietness through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Congregation, may be seated.
First lesson is from Amos chapter 7, verses 7 through 15. This is what the Lord God showed me. The Lord was standing beside a wall built with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, see, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will never again pass them by. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. And I will rise against the house of Jeroboam with the sword. Then Amaziah, priest of Bethel, said to King Jeroboam of Israel, saying, Amos has conspired against you in the very center of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. For thus Amos has said, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel must go into exile away from this land. And Amaziah said to Amos, O seer, go away, flee away, the land of Judea, earn your bread there, and prophesy there, but never again prophesy at Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary, and is its temple of the kingdom. Then Amos answered Amaziah, I am no prophet, nor a prophet's son, but I am a herdsman and a dresser of sycamore trees. And the Lord took me from following the flock, and the Lord said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. The word of the Lord. Second lesson is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every single blessing in heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace that he has lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasures that he set forth in Christ, as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven, things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplished all things, according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, had believed in him. We were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance toward redemption, as God's our own people, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord.
Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark in the 6th chapter. King Herod heard of the disciples preaching, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him. But she could not, for Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you even half of my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? And she replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for his guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison, brought his head on a platter, and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. The Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, hello to all you prophets. Now, I'm sure that some of you are kind of going, who's he talking to? And the truth is, you, all of you, each of you, you are prophets. Now, that isn't the same thing as someone being a fortune teller or a prognosticator. It isn't about knowing what the future holds or manning the psychic hotline. That's how the world misunderstands prophets and prophecy. But you are prophets, and we are prophets because we have a message from God for the world. Like Isaiah and Jeremiah, Elijah, or Jonah, we have a message from God. Like Amos and John the Baptist in today's Bible readings, we are called to carry a message from God to the world around us. And sometimes that message brings comfort. Sometimes that message causes discomfort. But it's always the same message. It's a message of love. Now, sometimes that love brings the warm, comforting arms of God around us. And there are other times when that love is too great to let us continue making the same mistakes. But it's a message of love that comes freely from God. And we are called to share that love with everyone we can. And so, hello, prophets. Let's look at how Amos and John fare today, and let's discover what it is that we get to carry to the world around us. And for that, actually, we begin in Ephesians, because Ephesians this morning reminds us of what God has done for us. In Ephesians, we hear again what it is that we get to share, because God has blessed us, chosen us, destined us for adoption, redeems us, forgives us, and so much more, all in the love of Jesus Christ. Since we have been so blessed, our mission, our calling to carry the message of those blessings into the world, our mission is to live as prophets. Today, Amos and John the Baptist stand as examples, and we begin with Amos. Amos was a man with no prophet credentials at all. He was the least likely candidate to speak to the leaders in the northern kingdom of Israel, and yet God chose him to bring a message of love. Now, some might sit there and scoff and say that really wasn't very much a message of love, but it is. Yes, the high places will be laid desolate, sanctuaries will be laid waste, but it is love that is at the heart of that message. That's that plumb line that Amos is talking about. I am setting a plumb line, God says through Amos, because the building that is God's people is going crooked. The inevitability of the fall is easy to be seen. We've all looked at walls that you know that if they put one more thing on it, it's going over. That's not predicting the future, but that's just reading the signs that are all around you. But you see, the plumb line Amos is using, the plumb line that God is speaking of, isn't rules or regulations. The plumb line isn't some secret bit of knowledge or a six-step program to building straighter walls. The plumb line is love for God and love for neighbor. You see, the people that Amos is speaking to have lost track of that message of love from God. They cheat and steal, they trick and scam, and on account of all of that, their world is going to come crashing down around them. But you see, the amazing good news of God's love is that God is there with the plumb line to help them rebuild. Now, God won't prop them up. If they don't change, they will fall. But God is ready to work with them to rebuild straight and strong. That's the promise that we have in Amos's prophecy. That is the promise of God's love for all of us. But you see, Amos's audience, like so many of us, they don't want to hear that message. They don't want to admit that they're wrong. Do we like to admit that? They didn't want someone from outside like Amos to come in and explain their difficulties. Amos had no credentials. He wasn't from the temple. He wasn't a priest or an official prophet. He was a herder, kind of like a cowboy. And he cared for orchards. So the king, Jeroboam, and Amaziah, the priest, they didn't want to hear from him. So they laughed at him and they kicked him out of the country. Their unwillingness to listen does not change the truth of God's, the message that Amos brought from God. It doesn't change the fact that love is still the plumb line. Now, if Amos had no credentials, John the Baptist had whole piles of them, right? John's father, Zechariah, was a priest. Not only a priest, he was a priest who had spent time in the holy place in the temple in Jerusalem. He had all of the validation that Amos didn't have, and yet John went out of his way to deny it all. John became an outsider who still has a message of love. The heart of John's message of love was repent. Too often, all we hear in a message of repentance is an accusation, and it's certainly there. We are sinful human beings, and we are walking away from God and God's kingdom. And so the message to repent can accuse us, but that message to repent also carries the assurance of God's help as we change. God wants us to change. God will help us to transform. God encourages us to the change that we need. And God does all of that with love. Agape love that comes only from God, selfless, unconditional, and freely given. God grants all of this help in love for us. God does all of these wonderful things through the love of Jesus Christ our Lord. God will not hold our past against us. And God wants so much to work with us to make the world more and more beautiful. That is the core of John's repentance plea. It's the core of the message he was telling to Herod. It's the core of the message he was telling to the crowds when he was able to preach. But again, most only hear that accusation. And they can't get beyond the implications that somehow or another, I've done something wrong. One of my favorite Calvin and Hobbes cartoons has Calvin with a hammer and some nails pounding those nails into the coffee table, having a good old time. He had no idea that anything that he was doing was anything but what he should be doing. So when his mother asks, "What are you doing?" his next response is that a trick question? Come on, I'm pounding nails into the coffee table. Too often, we're the ones pounding nails into the coffee table, and we don't want someone like John the Baptist to tell us to repent. Like Calvin, we don't want to hear that what we're doing is wrong. Herod and Herodias didn't want to hear that. And because they didn't want to hear that, it cost John his freedom, his life, his head. So great, we're all prophets, and the examples we got today were laughed at, kicked out of town, imprisoned, and beheaded. Really makes you want to jump up and join that crowd, doesn't it? But it does get to the heart of our calling as prophets. No one demands success, not even God. What we are called to do is share the love. Proclaim the love. Live the love of God in any way that we can, because that is what lingers. The love is what lingers, and it changes things, sometimes gradually, sometimes quickly, but it is God's love, and it is more powerful than anything else in the world. Amos was a poor hick from down south. He was not any kind of success as the world would judge it, yet his willingness to bear God's words of love has had a significant effect on the world for almost 3,000 years. John the Baptist was a wild man, disregarded by the established powers, both religious and political. Yet both of those powers feared his message. Because it was a message from God and it carried a significance that connects to God's people. And John's willingness to bear that message to all, no matter how powerful they were or whatever they did to him, that is an inspiration, and it points to Christ and to Christ's mission, ministry, death, and resurrection. So the question for us as prophets today is, how can we live with the rejection that we will face? It's not our message of love. It's God's. And God is with us every step of the way. We are called to carry that message, but God is with us. That's why this story comes now in Mark's gospel between Jesus sending out the disciples and their return. Because the story of John's death tempers our quest for success. It's a reminder that God's message to the world, God's message of love for all, will be misunderstood and misinterpreted by some. Our job is to bring the message and the power of that love anyway. So today we get to look at ourselves as prophets, as those charged to bring a message from God to the world around us. We are the ones who bear God's words, deeds, and love to the world. We won't always succeed. People will ignore us, laugh at us, send us away. That's all right, because we are only ever called to be faithful. Our job is to make God's love and God's words a reality to those around us, and to let that love and its transformational power to stand on their own. Our job is to appear to the world, to fellow members or guests, neighbors, and to the larger community. We are to appear as people of faith, as people whose lives have been touched by the love of Jesus Christ. So we get to go into the world and do everything that we can. We get to go into the world and try again to bring the love of God with us wherever it is that we go. We go and try regardless of discomfort, laughter, even anger, because God's love is worth it. Because God has chosen us for this work, because we can make a difference with God beside us. It's good to see a room full of prophets. And as we leave, know that at any time in your prophetic life, you can cry out, "God, help me," knowing that he will. Amen. Please rise. In celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith using the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us come before the triune God in prayer. Holy Parent, you welcome your people into one family and gather all things to yourself. Bestow your grace upon your beloved church, lavish your wisdom upon us, and redeem us from all our faults, that by our witness all might praise your glory. Lord, in your mercy. Awesome Creator, you steadfastly tend to the smallest of seeds and the mightiest of sycamore trees. Spring up green growth from the earth, nourish the growth of fruit, grain, and other crops, and bless the work of farmers and laborers. Lord, in your mercy. God of the oppressed, turn the ears of those who are in power to the voices of prophets in our own day. Protect those who speak difficult truths when it is risky to do so. Lord, in your mercy. God of strength, you are near to those who endure difficulty. Comfort all who are survivors of violence. Guard the refugee and the immigrant and protect all of those who are victims of prejudice and discrimination. Lord, in your mercy, God of love, we pray for this holy house and all those who worship here. We pray especially for those whose efforts behind the scenes often go unnoticed. We pray for the custodian and maintenance worker, for our office staff, and for all our volunteers. Lord, in your mercy, we thank you, God, for the saints, martyrs, and prophets who have died in the faith. We remember those in this community who have recently died, especially Mary Worsham. United with them as God's children, assure us that we are yours forever. Lord, in your mercy, we lift our prayers to you, O God, trusting in your abiding grace. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. And now as you enjoy your day, let us go into the world with hope.
Let God's vision be our mission.
That's what we do.
You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.
Lord, I want to feel your heart and see the world through your eyes. Your hands and feet, I want to live a life that leads. Ready yourselves, let it shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Oh, ready yourselves, may the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out. As the day draws near, we'll sing until the whole world hears. Lord, let your sleeping giant rise, catch the demons by surprise. Holy nation sanctified, let this be our battle cry. Ready yourselves, let it shine the light of Jesus in the darkest night. Whoa, ready yourselves, may the powers of darkness tremble as our praises rise. Until the whole world hears, Lord, we are calling out, lifting up your name for all to hear the sound. Like voices in the wilderness, we're crying out. As the day draws near, we'll sing until the whole world hears. Whoa. Your hands and feet, I want to live a life that leads, see you set the captives free, until the whole world hears, and I pray.